Welcome to episode 22 of the WP HackerCast. This was a special podcast because I was able to interview my guest, Josefa Hayden, live and in person at WordCamp Europe in Berlin. Josefa is the newly appointed executive director of the WordPress project, and I had the chance to chat with her about the status of the project, both as a piece of open source software and as a community of people from diverse backgrounds. If you love WordPress, I highly recommend listening to my chat with Josefa. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Great, I'm awesome, thank you. I'm sitting here today with Josefa Hayden. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Thank you. Maybe you'd like to give us a short introduction of who you are and why you like WordPress.
Why I like WordPress? Oh man, I was just talking to someone about that like an hour ago. So I'm Josefa Hayden. I am the current executive director of the WordPress project. It's a brand new title for a brand new year, I guess, because it was January 15th.
Right.
And so I've been doing that for about 6 months. And the thing that I love the most about WordPress is the way that the tool, WordPress, the CMS, can really change people's lives for the better, and how so many people, so many volunteers come together to make that happen without even like thinking to themselves, I'm doing this because of that individual person over there. Like, they're doing it mostly out of completely altruistic space,
right,
and without any intention of knowing how they're helping people in the future.
Right.
And I think that's really remarkable. So kind of life changing through altruism, I guess, is my favorite thing about WordPress.
So how did you first get involved with WordPress itself? Not specifically your role today and where you are now, but how did you first discover and get use or
WordPress? Because of my mom.
Mom, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which people sometimes get that confused or assume that I got it confused, and they think, surely you, the daughter, introduced your mom to it. But no, it was a long time ago, and I was just out of college and was driving home to visit her.
Okay.
And she said, you can come visit, but I'm going to this conference. If you want, I have a spare ticket. Which, as we all know, is how so many people get tricked into loving WordPress. They're like, I'll give you a free ticket.
First one's free.
Exactly. First one's free. But then, yeah, I went to the event, and I didn't know what anyone was talking about, but it sounded really neat. And so I, got to know it, and my mom helped me build my first site, and then we kind of learned how to use WordPress together.
So had your mom been using it for a while?
No. She was just starting to.
And she just wanted to learn how to build a website and discovered WordPress, and then
And she ended up more in the SEO and copywriting side of things, and I ended up more in data analysis and strategy, and then ended up here.
So. Okay. So when we talk about ended up here, you're executive director of the WordPress project, but you also work for a company.
Yeah, I'm sponsored in my work for the WordPress project by Automattic.
Okay.
So I work directly for Matt in that way.
Okay. And what's that like?
Working directly for Matt?
Yeah.
It's actually quite lovely. He and I have pretty regular communication. Like, for a while there, it was literally every single day, but now I have a lot of other people that I have to talk to too. And so we chat pretty regularly, mostly via Slack, as with everything else. And, you know, he gives me a lot of autonomy, and we're pretty clear about all the things that we both need and don't need out of the space. And I don't know, I think we have an excellent working relationship, and I really love working with him. So
that's great. That's great. It is amazing to work with somebody who you not only respect, but also have a good relationship with.
Yeah.
That's so important. I'm fortunate in that I'm in a position right now where the person I'm working with, we have that similar kind of situation.
Yeah. Isn't it just like a game changer?
It's not like going to work.
Right.
You know? You're just kind of chilling with a friend and building some stuff and doing some things, and it's all good. Yeah. So that's awesome. And then I always like to ask this question mostly of developers because of the stigma that most developers drink coffee, but I find it interesting anyway. So your chosen drink of choice first thing in the morning?
Oh, of course, coffee.
Coffee. Okay. And any type of flavor or make or style, or
just plain old coffee.
Plain old coffee.
And I will take it however it gets brewed. I know that there are people who are like picky about cold brew or pour over or all the things. Like, I know that there's a lot of pickiness in there.
Right.
But yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So you were talking about your a little bit about your history, talking about your mom getting you involved. So how long ago was that you first went to that WordCamp?
That WordCamp was like 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time so ago.
About 10 years ago. And, yeah. And then how long from that WordCamp to Automattic, roughly?
I went to Automattic in 2015.
Oh, wow. So it's a fairly recent...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. People don't understand how recently I came to Automattic.
Okay.
And how recently I came into this actual work that I'm doing now.
Right.
That people are getting to know me for. I came into that recently. I've been at Automattic for just about 4.5 years now.
Okay.
So not very long at all. But I was volunteering. I've been volunteering in the project since 2012
Okay.
Like I've been around for a really long time and no one's heard of me.
Yes.
Matt likes to point this out to me, like I've spent a lot of time being this unknown household thing.
Yes.
Right?
So you know a lot about the project, but the project doesn't know a lot about you.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And
which we will talk about in a moment.
Oh, good. Well, hold on then.
We're gonna dig into that. So if you wouldn't mind holding on to that, because I wanna dig into that. So going forward, just to kind of, I like to get a better understanding of who I'm speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned college. What was your study of choice at college?
Vocal performance.
Yeah. Oh.
So learning to sing good. To be a singer.
So another musician who's in WordPress.
Yeah.
I remember interviewing, who was it?
Helen?
No, I'm dying to interview Helen. Helen, if you're listening, I hope you are listening. Helen is the reason this podcast exists.
You want to know a funny story? Helen and I, and also Pippin Williamson, all mm-hmm. started contributing basically at the same time, basically
really?
In the same place.
Really?
Yeah, we were all in Kansas City at
okay.
the same time.
Okay.
And so, like, Helen, if you're listening, you know that you're my spirit animal. I love you. And Pippin, you live nearby me, and we never talk anymore. It's not because he doesn't like me. It's
so did you all know each other from the area before you started?
We all knew each other from WordPress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you didn't know each other before WordPress?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And
okay.
for Helen, like... she came and spoke at a meetup of mine.
Right.
Because I can't remember how I found her. Someone suggested that she come or something like that. And she lived in a city that was like an hour and a half away from
okay.
where the meetup was. And
okay.
she drove in to come and give that talk. And it was fascinating. And I didn't understand a word that she said. And she scared me to death. And she continued to scare me to death until like 2014 when I was like, hey, Helen. Literally this happened. Hey, Helen, you intimidate me and I'm so scared of you, but I really want to be your friend. And she was like, oh. You intimidate and scare me, and I also want to be your friend. And then we were. It was like a
wow.
match made in heaven.
Wow.
It was wonderful.
That's awesome. No, she's literally the reason I wanted to start this podcast, because after she led 4.7 or 4.6, I don't
remember
exactly
know.
Which one.
She
spoke about online on Twitter. She spoke about some of the issues she had leading the release. And I thought,
yeah.
wouldn't it be interesting to kind of dig in that with her and understand what she went through and kind of what can we do to do better and that kind of thing. So Helen, if you're listening, please, we need to work it out. I have spoken to her on Slack. At the time she had a baby, so it was difficult work-wise, and now she's moved. So I will get there one day. I will one day get Helen on the podcast.
Yeah.
Cool. So now that we understand you a little bit better, we have sort of a basic background of who you are. My focus here today is to really spend time talking to you about your position as executive director
okay.
of the WordPress project.
No one wants to talk to me about that right now.
Well, I do.
I'm so excited.
And that's the reason why I've asked you to be on. The first thing I'd like to do though is when I first met you and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I first met you last year,
mm-hmm.
You were still at that point leading the community team or within Automattic?
We met before last year. But yeah. when we saw each other last year, I was not.
Yeah, we had met previously. You're right. Yes.
Yeah. When we saw each other last summer.
Yes, we saw each other for the first time, but we met when I was leading that community
yeah.
team meeting. That's right. So at that stage, you were still.
I was not. At that point, I was leading the core team.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
But before that, you were leading the full time sponsored community team members.
Yep.
So how did that, not. Being not working for Automattic to working for Automattic, how did that come about?
Oh, that is actually an excellent story. So in 2014, I went to WordCamp San Francisco.
Okay.
And I was there, I think, if I remember correctly, as part of a diversity outreach initiative that
okay.
had been done.
Okay.
In my hometown of Kansas City, I had been doing a lot of work with with the urban core and teaching young students who otherwise didn't have access to technology to learn how to use WordPress.
Okay.
And how to do that sort of thing. I was also pretty active in some work around startups and getting women in startups and just regular diversity work that I do even now. And the woman who was leading the community team at the time, Jen Milo, took notice of the work that I was doing and invited me to come and take part in these conversations around how to make WordPress more inclusive as not only the project, but also like the tools that we have and that we build with, and also how to increase diversity once we have done something about the inclusion in the space. And so I was there and I was participating in the Contributor Day, which was my first ever Contributor Day. And she leaned over, I had been doing some work, and she leaned over and said, "How would you like to do this full-time for pay?" And I said, "Well, of course, because like, who doesn't want to do that?
What you love."
Yeah. Like, who doesn't want to get paid for doing what they love? I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And then a couple weeks later, she sent me a message to say, "Hey, by the way, there's actually a position opening up and I think you should apply."
Okay. And what position was that?
It was community wrangler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And so then as I, and I'm sort of cheating here because we have known each other for a while. So there are some questions that I don't have to ask.
It's all right.
But you then went from community wrangler to leading the team.
Yes.
Then you moved on to leading core.
Leading core, yes.
What was that switch like from managing a people-focused to a code-focused type situation?
It's worth mentioning that for a little bit, like 6 months, I was leading both.
Okay.
And so the processes between the two were slightly different, but still basically informed by the way that I lead things.
Okay.
And so the core team, with its first 6 months with me, was led very much, you know, as it should be, as though they were people who write code.
Right.
And then we got a couple of designers on there. And once we got the designers on, then Andrea Middleton took over the community team, and I took over the core team properly.
Okay.
And the work that I was doing there was doing some kind of fixing some team dynamics because with the addition of the designers on core, which had never really been done on a consistent basis, but Matt had just declared, you know, this is the year of design.
Was that
same time. And so we got some designers in there for the first time. And there was a lot of difficulty kind of getting
folks like Mel and Tammy. Tammy would have, okay.
Yeah, those were the two.
Right.
And it was hard to get the workflows sorted out at first. Because it always is when you blend things together like that. And so I led them for about a year, made sure that everything that they were working on was functional and kind of trying to get things tidied up as far as our house went so that we could make some, not community, what do you call that?
Culture?
Yes, culture changes out in the rest of core. One of the biggest pieces of feedback that we get is, you know, you get dropped into core and it's just like this mildly terrifying place. People expect that you have the full 16 years of knowledge at your disposal. If you don't, at least you know the history of everybody who ever worked on everything forever over the last 16 years. And so it's really difficult to get started in there. And so that was one of the main things that was a focus of my first year working with core, was to kind of change the way that we talk to each other in that space. Not only because I would like to see more diversity in the type of person who's there, but also because, you know, even if you are all the same sort of person, you still deserve to have people being nice to you, and you should still be expected to be nice to other people. And so, yeah.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because that leads on to the next question that I have quite nicely.
Great.
So I don't think I've told many people this. I've told Hugh, and I've maybe told one other of my local WordPress community friends, but there was a WordPress core meeting that happened on Slack, which was kind of the first time Josepha entered the meeting as a representative, effectively of Matt, but not really, but kind of in your new position.
Right then I was the what was it? The release coordinator.
Or something like that. For 5.0. And that was the day that I always refer to as the day that Jeff had to play daddy with the core team.
Yeah.
Because he kind of had some strong words for everybody at the end of that conversation.
He did.
Now, because I knew you, and because I'd met you offline and then seen you at WordCamp Europe, I knew that you could handle all of that.
Yeah.
I knew that. And, you know, I confirmed that with you. But anybody else in that kind of position, that could have been a very, very life-changing experience.
Yes, for sure.
And I almost that day went, I don't want to contribute to this project anymore. Because if that's how we're treating people who are... Okay, so you're an automatician, so what? Let's get over that, please. Anyway, but who are involved, who have been involved, who haven't been as visibly involved as others,
yeah,
who aren't programmers, if that's how we're treating those people, there is a problem.
Yeah.
Would you say that you expected that to happen? Or were you surprised with the way that day went down?
I was slightly surprised.
Okay.
Because I had been observing core chats for at least a year by that point, every week. And like, I'm one of those many people who's there to see what's going on but doesn't have anything to share. And so I'd been watching them routinely. And I was slightly surprised that the reaction to me was so different than other people who had come in and done that sort of thing. And you're right, like I was never in any danger, and I also didn't like get very upset by it. There was a moment in the chat, which many people asked me about, where I was like, you all are being mean and very scary. There are a million of you. One of me.
I remember that.
Yeah. And a little bit, that was an important thing to say. Like I never at any point felt like I was not going to return to that meeting during that moment. But I think that as people in leadership, it's really important for us to show vulnerability when it's there.
Right.
And especially as someone who is like the exact opposite of the people we normally see in core, right? Like I'm
in other words, the non-white males.
Right.
I am one and I recognize my privilege. So let's just say anybody who's not a white male.
Right.
Is
and a developer.
And a developer, which is what
Yeah. And so I really felt like in that moment I needed to provide like some stark clarity to be like, hey, this is not how you treat people who aren't like you here. Mm. Like, you're not allowed to do that here.
Yeah.
And fortunately, Jeff, who had prepped me for the meeting for like 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
He was there with me. He coached me on how to get things done. And
great.
Was in my DMs. And he's like, it's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But he, as you said, came in at
he
the end
to play
and was
daddy.
Like, y'all stop being so mean. We're all trying to do the same thing here. And, you know, it was really wonderful to have that sort of support. And I, you know, even now rely on Jeff for a lot of things as we move through stuff. But yeah, I really felt like I owed it to other people who were watching to just be like, hey, everybody, this is inappropriate. See what we're doing here?
Right.
We don't do this.
Right. So. And so let's talk about your position. So first of all, and maybe this is my own fault for not reading about it enough, but what does your position mean? What is your job? What are you doing? What role are you filling that WordPress needs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And some days I feel like I know the answer more than other days, you know. But Matt and I actually started talking about how this was a void in the project almost a year, or give or take a few months, prior to my being announced as that. And so to me, the void that we had in the project was some clear person who was approachable and had a lot of time to dedicate to just being there and available with the community and hearing things and moving things around and unblocking people's paths. Like, we just didn't have anyone whose whole job it was to make sure that the community was okay.
Right.
And by community here, I mean like WordPress community as a whole, not the community team. And so he said in that moment, like, I think that's something that we can grow you into. And I agreed, and I told him, and this is where he and I had our first like really weird disagreement. I was like, no one knows who I am. And at that point I had been at Automatic for like 3 years, and I had been leading in the project for two. He was like, that's not true. Everyone knows who you are. And so at the next few WordCamps, he just tested that theory. And he's like, yeah, no one knows who you are. And I was like, yeah, no. So we can't like go out today and say, and now Josefa is doing this job, because people will revolt. And also I wouldn't be ready.
Right.
You have to move through that change pretty gracefully. And so that's why I started being more present in the core chats, but then also why I ended up being that release coordinator for 5.02.
Right.
Okay. To kind of get me a little bit more public interaction and a little more comfortable with that space and kind of managing those sorts of conversations. Those are hard to manage. Just like 25 people talking all at once, but in text, so you can't look them in the eyes and see who's about to say things.
And then you have someone take off on a thread somewhere. And...
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of stuff to follow.
I'll say one thing there. Otto and, what's her name? Mika have this great thing of no threads are allowed in the plugin review channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so difficult to track and all that kind of thing. And it does help because then all the conversations just stay on point, which is great.
And we try to do that for high value things in core also. Like if people are joking, I'm fine if they go into a thread because that's distracting for people anyway and they can just ignore that over there. But we do announce at the top of the meeting, like this is who attends this meeting. This is our purpose of being here. This is how we expect you to behave. Also, by the way, we try to avoid threads for accessibility reasons.
Right.
Because we have a number of contributors who use screen readers who, up until recently, honestly, could not come to core chats because we didn't follow any sort of accessibility guidelines. And we need them there. You know,
right.
I feel like if representatives from like design and accessibility and who else? Anyone else? All other teams. If we had some people from every team also coming to the core chats, we would probably catch some of our issues faster.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit.
I'm ready.
How do we do that? How do we get people from the other teams into those chats?
Yeah. So I just posted on make.wordpress.org/updates. I just posted something about the way that WordPress tends to organize itself. And how people are able to move in and around and through the project itself, but then also all of the teams that are there. It's just observations over the last 3 years of my work. And I think that information, if we can get all of the other teams to have kind of more structure in the way that they get contributors from learning about their team all the way to like submitting patches, I think that will help, because it gives people a lot more certainty in coming and participating in these bigger conversations, because they feel like they know what they're doing and how to do it, and they just kind of have that sense of mastery.
Right.
But also, I think that we need some clearer leadership available in those teams. And I just started, I closed the call for feedback on a team lead training module.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that we can get kind of shared expectations in that whole space. And if we were to do that, and a number of people suggested having team reps and team leads, so team leads have training and responsibilities, and team reps can be kind of mobile, fluid people who can take the notes and post agendas and be representatives in other meetings, but like the team lead is the one who has to talk to me as I get progressively scarier. I don't know if you know this, I'm terrifying, Jonathan. I'm very not scary. But yeah, I think that those two things together,
okay,
are going to get us a really long way in being able to get more representation, even if it's just to say, like, hey, I'm from the accessibility team and I don't have anything to say about what you're doing, but there's this thing that I think could be problematic. Can we have a conversation about that over here?
Right. Yeah. That's very interesting. So you spoke, now you mentioned something earlier which I'd like to dig into a little bit, and you spoke about having team reps and team leads and that kind of concept. I almost feel like so there's two things. I almost feel like those who were team reps had the idea that they were team leads. And I feel like those two concepts are very different, and they've kind of been used together almost incorrectly. And I also feel, and I may be wrong about this, but I feel like, correct me if you disagree with this, but I feel like anybody can be a team rep, but not anybody can be a team lead.
So to answer the first part of your thought over there, it's true that we've had team reps forever, and they have kind of been acting like team leads. And that's partially because we as a project, as WordPress when we were teeny tiny, super small. Like, yeah, you could have a person who showed up for an hour a week and that was it. And you could keep track of everything and make, and you knew exactly who was doing everything all the time. So you didn't really need a lot of formal training. You just needed to show up from time to time and ask that person right there to please do this thing over here. And I just think we outgrew the team rep concept. And I don't think that it was malicious by any means. I think that the feedback that I've gotten about this move toward some of just the most minute bit of training for them so that they can feel comfortable to do the work, and maybe having team reps also, but maybe just team leads, and we have a number that are ready to go at any moment. Like, no one was opposed to having that more formal. I think it's something that we all have known we had grown out of and just couldn't figure out how to get the move into the next thing. And since now, here I am with all this copious free time. It's not true. I don't have any free time. But more free time than you know, Matt.
Yes.
To help this project not only get itself into the technological future, but then also into the infrastructural future so that we have a chance of surviving.
Something that just struck me, would you agree with me that more so than on a technical level, but also on a community level, Gutenberg has kind of exposed these issues way more, such that we can make these kind of decisions to improve the way we manage ourselves as a community? Almost as if the way we were going, things wouldn't have changed if we just carried on like that. But because Gutenberg came along, these sort of, I don't want to say issues is the wrong word, but these little cracks in the system were then exposed because of now all the amount of people who are now voicing their opinions, negativity, whatever else. It kind of almost exposes these problems, and then you can go, well, there it is. Now we can deal with that. Do you think that's true, or do you think it's something that you've seen coming or others have seen coming for a while?
So for people who have been able to commit 50, 60 hours to the project a week, for a while, it was pretty clear that we had some infrastructure problems. It became clear to everyone else when this change with Gutenberg came. And I think that that is definitely true. I think that for the community, it suddenly became apparent.
Yes.
But also I think one of the things that I have a slightly unpopular opinion about regarding the Gutenberg project that we're working on is that, what we were doing for the past 5 years was not for the users anymore, you know? And so it was because that whole community who was building it was mostly developers and mostly fairly affluent developers. And so we had, as a project, set up this future path for ourselves, which was going to be, you know, increasingly wonderful for developers. And that's what we had for 5 years. And then we made this move into this space where we're like, okay, we've got to make something that is equally exponentially wonderful for our users, or it won't matter how great we treat our developers, but it won't matter how wonderful WordPress is for developers to use. And so I think that some of that like loud outburst that we still even see sometimes now is a little bit passionately wanting to do the right thing. It's also a little bit that people were startled and they had been doing this for 5 years and no one complained. And then someone was like, don't forget about our users. And they were like, ah, no, I didn't forget about them. I promise I did, you know?
Right.
So it's hard to tell where that whole thing came from, whether it was just like the initial panic of this sudden change in direction that we were taking, or whether it was because these were foundational issues that were always there and we just didn't see because we're just kind of floating along
right,
or something.
Right. That's extremely interesting because I never thought about it like that. I came to WordPress very late in the game. I only started using WordPress as a developer in 2015.
Nice. Welcome.
Thank you. And so when the Gutenberg thing happened, I hadn't had those 5 years. You know, I was kind of always thinking about my users for the 2 years that I was, and then Gutenberg, and then it was done. Yeah. So I never really thought about it that way. That's very interesting. The next question that I want to ask you requires a previous question. So I'm going to have to ask you the first question first, and then we can...
Prerequisites.
Prerequisite questions. And this is more just also a bit of a clarification. So when you talk about leading the core team, you actually mean leading the core team
at Automattic.
And when you talk about leading the community team, you mean the community team at Automattic.
Yes.
And the way I understand that and the way Hugh's explained that to me, for those of you who don't know, Hugh Lashbrook, he's been on the podcast, check it out, is there are members of Automattic who are full-time sponsored to work on the relevant team within WordPress.
Yeah.
So Hugh and yourself and Andrea and Theo were community. You've obviously moved on to core. You know, folks like Constantine, those kind of people are, you know, they're core. How, before I get to the next question, how do you, so first of all, what is it like working for, in my opinion, what I've seen, what I've perceived, working for the biggest WordPress company in the world, but probably also one of the most hated WordPress companies in the world, by a lot of the folks who are very sort of open source and Automattic shouldn't own WordPress and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Kind of get the wrong end of the stick. What is that like?
For one, I think that there is a healthy distrust in there. I understand why people are distrustful of any corporation that comes into an open source space, right? Because open source, it attracts people who are, you know, highly idealistic and just semi-anarchical in their own special ways, me included. And so to have corporations in that space, every time, no matter what it is, will always cause people to wonder what's going on. And so when I went to Automattic, when I was hired by Automattic, I actually didn't know that the public sentiment was anything. I was only like marginally aware that Automattic existed. I got there and did my interview and my trial project and all that. And when I was announced, there was a really warm welcome for me, but then that's the first time that I saw any of that stuff about like, okay, but hang on a second, because it is a completely normal thing to distrust large corporations when you are basically an independent person. And so, yeah, it was unusual at first, and from a culture perspective inside the team that I worked on, it was just a single team. We didn't have a division yet. And there was essentially, not a rule, but like it was encouraged to downplay our role at Automattic, not to like trick people, but because there was bound to be a slightly chilly reception from some people. And so like making sure that they liked you as a person and then letting them know that you were from Automattic was kind of the recommended best practice. And then when I took over that team, I guess like 8 months in, maybe a year in, when I took over that team, it seemed to me that the best way to help with that low current that we couldn't see of people just kind of grumbling about it was to take it out into a very transparent space and just let the sunshine of honesty be the disinfectant. And I did say, you know, let people know that you are a full-time sponsored volunteer from Automattic, because then you don't look like you were lying to them because you weren't, because you told them.
Okay.
You know? And no one was trying to deceive anybody, but I think it appeared that way. And I think it came from, because Jen Milo was my team lead when I arrived, I think it came absolutely from this deep sense of maternal care that she has. She really wants to take care of everyone and make sure they're safe. And so she felt like that slow reveal of who your employer was the way to keep her employees safe.
Right.
Yeah. And right. I have this joke with my teams now where I say, I ask them to run into fires with me. We are the WordPress firefighters. Come with me and let's boldly in public talk about the things that are super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for us all to really get on board with that idea. But I think that it has made all the difference.
Right.
For the community, for sure, but for those teams as well.
Right. It's very interesting. So I'd like to move on now to sort of, let's call them topics of the day, if you will.
Okay.
More modern events. You know, there are two things I'm going to talk about. I'll start with the first one. There is a problem with inclusiveness and diversity in tech.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually reading a book now called Coders, And it talks about sort of the modern programmers, as they call them, the programmers. And, you know, the sort of, I'm not going to name names, but the sort of the young white males who have built these multi-million dollar corporations out of harvesting your data and all that kind of thing. And what I've noticed is that WordPress is, you know, Morten talks about WordPress being in a space to lead when it comes to the web, and, you know, we control, we are 33% of the web, so we should be in those conversations, and because we're 33% of the web, we should be in other conversations about diversity and inclusiveness. But I also understand that WordPress is not a company, it's an open source project. We can't necessarily walk into those rooms and people will care who we are, kind of thing, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you can't just be like, this is how you feel about this now.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to walk in and say, hi, I'm from Google, because people go, okay, I know Google. But when you go in and say, I'm from WordPress to a government, they sort of look, unless they're using your CMS, they look at you like, what does that mean?
Yeah, every time I go outside the WordPress ecosystem, I'm like, I'm here and I work with WordPress. They're like, what? Who are you?
So what do you feel we should be doing as a community to improve those concerns of diversity and being inclusive? And because, you know, I've been fortunate enough to become a community deputy, which means I've read all the documentation. You know, I'm a meetup leader, so I've read all the documentation about, you know, diversity and inclusion. And so I do it on the local level. But how can we spread that? How can we share that more with the rest of our community?
I think that one of the primary things that the community could do today, each of the teams inside the community could do today to help that, would be to do that kind of announcement of what each team is doing at the beginning of their meetings, and clearly at the beginning of their sites, clearly at the beginning of their Slack channels. Like, just make it clear what you're doing, who is here, and basically who is not here.
Okay.
Because in any community that has a strong sense of self, and that sense of self is all kind of one type, a monoculture, I think that's an agricultural term, but, you know, single culture, it's easy to feel as though everyone should understand that you would accept anyone else who wasn't like you. And because you personally don't mind it, and so how could anybody else mind it? Or you personally love diversity, and so everyone else also must love diversity. But it is always true that the underrepresented groups should not be the ones who are required to figure out whether they're welcome. Like, it is the people who are overrepresented who have to say, and we welcome this sort of person.
Right.
Because it's just not, it's because of what the outcome would be if it weren't true. Like, if you were a black female developer and you walked into the core channel and you're like, hey, I have these questions, and the answer was not a warm welcome, and the answer actually was active hate and discrimination, which you have experienced your entire life, like, you would choose not to even take that risk.
And you would assume that was because of who you are.
Exactly. You would assume it's because of who you were. And also, you would probably assume that unless someone told you, it totally wouldn't happen. Definitely not happening here.
Yeah.
Unless someone told you that, you would always assume there was a 50-50 chance
that
would happen to you.
Right.
And so that's why when I led the training team, which is the only community team I've actually ever led, like the public community teams, when I led the training team, we always started with, this is the training team, these are the things that we do here, this is what we work on, this is how we work on it. Okay. By the way, we're family friendly, so don't do bad things in here.
Right.
And just kind of made it clear what to expect when people arrived. And I did that in community chat when I was helping to manage meetings in there, and I do that for the core chat now. And I really think that if we did that today, that would help immeasurably with the inclusive problem that we have in the project. And honestly, if we have people who say they're leading those teams, like, I can't do that because I can't promise that, then that's a problem too.
Right. So would you say that that's something that you would be almost wanting to say to a team lead, you need to do, if you're going to be a team lead, you need to do this?
Yeah. Okay. So there are some meeting best practices that we have some documentation on, and the documentation that I pulled together was pulled together from a bunch of handbooks across our entire ecosystem, and also a bunch of the people from the global community team. And meeting etiquette and best practices has been written out, including, like, start by announcing what this is and what you're doing there.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would be prepared to say, this is your meeting template. make it sound as much like you as you can, as you want to make it, but also don't lose the spirit of what we're saying here. So.
Because the other problem with an open source project is, and maybe this is something you have thought of, and maybe I'm asking a question that I shouldn't be because it's got nothing to do with me, but you know, there are situations where the team lead can't lead the meeting, so they need to get someone else to do it.
Right.
How do they manage that? And how do you see dealing with a problem like that?
With leading meetings.
So in other words, like if somebody needs to lead a meeting, but they weren't a team lead, so they didn't agree to follow that template.
Mm. Yeah. Well, right now we don't have any of those trainings, so you just kind of tell people how it's supposed to go, and hope that they do it. I think that modeling that behavior from team leadership will cause it to most likely be that way.
Right.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with sometimes not having a meeting that went as well as the other meeting. Because as a good open source practitioner, like the mistakes that we make are features, not bugs.
Right.
They are an opportunity for people to learn or to step up and say, oh, we could have done it better this way, and make modifications there.
Okay. Interesting. And then the next thing that I'd like to chat to you about is something that I have sort of been watching in the community. And then I had a podcast with Carol,
mm-hmm.
her experiences, and I don't blame anything with WordPress for what happened to her. I don't blame her either, but I have noticed a few people online who are taking steps back from contributing because they can't handle what's been happening or the stresses or the whatever. And one of the things that Carol and I spoke about was her feeling, at least, that there almost needs to be some form of healthy dose of reality. Where a new contributor comes along, and for example, I see someone like Hugh,
mm-hmm.
and he's full-time sponsored and he's doing what he's doing and he's doing amazing things, mentoring and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not full-time sponsored, but now for whatever reason, maybe my own personal things, or because I see people talking about him a lot and I want to be like that, I feel like I need to put all that time in.
Yes.
And if I don't, it's almost not a bad thing, but I feel bad about it. And the healthy dose of reality is that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a conversation you and I had when I contacted you the first time before I led WordCamp.
Yeah.
Where you said to me, let people know it's okay.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we're getting to a stage where we need to have that conversation more. We need to also stop, and Carol agreed with this, we need to also stop complaining when somebody is sponsored full time.
Yeah.
That's just their benefit. Yeah. You know, why is that a problem? You know, we should be thankful that they have that time that is dedicated towards WordPress.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't try and achieve what they've achieved. We should understand that we achieve what we can achieve.
Yeah.
That right there is a
big problem. People who are full-time sponsored, and it's not clear that they are.
Mm.
And so people who try to keep up with them, or it is clear that they are, and for some reason people do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like I can't help those people. But I think that's a real issue. And actually yesterday, maybe day before yesterday, we just launched a way in .org profiles for people to be able to say, I'm full-time sponsored by my company. Or part-time sponsored for their company. And that's part of a slightly larger initiative called Five for the Future. And that's a term that Matt coined in 2014. But this is kind of taking his concept of how that works and his aspirational vision around that and giving our community some way to make it clear that they are participating in that, either as self-sponsored, because there are plenty, or sponsored by a corporation. And I think that having that tag on some of those sponsored people that says, like, you know, I do this, also it's tied to my employment, and so I have a lot of time to do this exact thing because it's tied to my employment, you know, having the opportunity to let people know, like, you don't have to match me hour for hour is incredibly important. It is a double-edged sword, because it also runs the risk of us looking like we are flooding the space with, you know, 800 sponsored hours to essentially inadvertently drown out the 20 unsponsored hours that also showed up. So some people have raised concerns about how we should try to find a way to avoid letting the sponsored tag make you have an excessively heavy weight in your
right.
vote.
Right.
And so that's why my initial suggestion was to put the tag on the avatar so that it followed you basically across the network. And now, and because we took it to the community and people gave us a lot of really good feedback, it's just a really subtle tag next to your, I think, bio on your profile's page itself. So people can go find it. And know that about you, but it doesn't just like follow you around as like, I'm important. This is my important banner, you know. I have the most irritating mocking voice. Sorry.
No, not at all.
Sounded like Pinocchio.
I was actually...
I'm a real boy.
There was a character that popped in my head when you did that, and I can't think of the name now. It'll come to me. That's actually interesting because that kind of ties in nicely with what Matt was talking about earlier about the jobs.wordpress.net having, you can, that I think is awesome, that you can go and set yourself up and say, and I'm available for some contribution if somebody
yes.
wants to sponsor me. I think that is amazing. That leads on to another question, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. So it is 4 o'clock now. We are supposed to only be booked till 4, but if I can steal a few more minutes...
A few.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
So this will be the last big question, then we'll move on to the short form and then we can close it. But I try as much as I can to follow the blogs of the teams that I'm involved in, and I
mm-hmm.
don't follow the blogs that I'm not involved in because that would just be too much information.
It is a lot.
But I didn't follow any of the conversation. I'm not upset that I didn't, but I didn't hear about any of the conversation about what you've just discussed about the contribution time and the avatars and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like, and this is less of a question, but more of a possible suggestion to you. And I just want to put it on the table. But if there was some better way that we had of like having shorter updates of all the different blogs somewhere that someone could just subscribe to for that.
Yeah.
Some kind of weekly or monthly breakdown summary.
Yeah. There are two things. One, someone built a pipeline on Twitter. That broke recently in April. I don't know who runs the Make WP Twitter account, but please unbreak it. It broke on April 26th.
Okay, so that would have had all of that.
Yeah,
okay.
And it did. It had a snippet of all of the updates
okay.
from the entire
okay.
network. And that was great, especially for me to follow.
And that would have gone to WordPress.
That goes to Twitter.
WordPress Twitter.
No, it went to Make WP
Twitter okay.
or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
an independent
broken.
Twitter account.
Okay.
It's just a little robot account. So that was a thing for a while, and it was great, and it's gone, and I'm super sad.
I'm going to make a note here, and I'm going to follow up on this after this.
Yeah.
I will see what I can do.
And the other one, which is something that I had planned to do at the beginning of the year and was foiled, but I had, at the beginning of the year, suggested that what we try to do to make conversations easier for people to identify and follow would be to have basically a project digest that came out as regularly as required,
right?
Essentially, and also having essentially a WordPress leadership mailbag where people could leave questions that they were having trouble getting answers to.
Okay.
And like, I could go away and get all the answers and put up a big blog post once a quarter. I was
okay.
These are all the weird questions that we forgot about.
Right.
And then, because I did not realize the scope of this job, like, I thought I knew what this job was when I started it. I thought it was everything I was doing before. And then we just put a title on it. And so did Matt. And then we put the title on it.
And everything changed.
I made huge plans for the first 6 months about how I was going to, you know, keep doing basically what I was doing, but also add in this one thing here and that one thing there. Like, I added literally three things to my job because I thought it was going to stay the same. And then it turns out that my job now is completely different.
Wow.
And it's like the first 6 months, I kind of was doing two whole jobs at once.
Wow.
And now that we are at the 6 month mark, all of my prior commitments have kind of chilled out. And by prior commitments, I mean my commitments, the
right.
things I committed to do.
Right.
And so I'm officially at a point where I'm making plans for the second half of the year so I can, now that I know what the job is.
sort that all out a bit better. And I think that that's one of the things that is really important for me to do, is help people get a clear understanding of, like, these are the things that all of our teams accomplished this week. These are the things that are stuck for them. These are the things that are coming that you might want to have a conversation about.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's definitely coming, but I definitely fell down.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, like you said, these things that go wrong, that's how we learn.
Yeah. Right? You know, and I'm not afraid of showing those failings of mine. I really think that it's a learning opportunity for me. And again, like, I feel there's a lot of importance for leaders to show their mistakes and show their vulnerabilities. Cause we're people too. And never showing any of those things kind of makes it look like you're, I don't know. I just feel like it's important. That's a whole other podcast.
That is a whole other podcast. I was about to say, that's very interesting though, because I know Matt was on a podcast recently where he was talking about what he values in a leader.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things, like a leader who is not happy, but will accept making mistakes and will learn from them.
Right.
As opposed to, I'm never going to make a mistake. I'm a perfect human being, which we aren't.
Exactly. The growth mindset part, I think, is super important.
Absolutely. So can I have you for 5 more minutes and then we're done?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this is like the short form question section. If you give me a one answer, that's great. If it's a couple of words or a couple of sentences, that's great as well.
Okay.
This is more kind of, I want to sort of almost Tim Ferriss tips and tricks and tools, pull them out of you and
share them
rapid fire. Some of it is WordPress, some of it is not. If you could change one aspect of WordPress today, what would it be and why?
I would love if WordPress, the CMS, had a way for us to identify the level that we're writing at, the readability level.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want it.
Yes, like a high schooler.
Yeah. Semantic highlighting for readability scores. That's right. What I want in WordPress.
Okay.
I use the Hemingway editor to check for my reading levels when I'm writing things. And I really would love to see that as something that WordPress does.
Okay.
I have never looked for a plug-in. No.
Okay.
Because that seems like forever from now question. And it's also my question.
If we don't put it down somewhere, nobody knows about it.
That's true. I'll just open a ticket and be like, this weird thing that only Josepha wants.
And then Josepha might get her first won't fix.
Never again, Josepha.
Right. Just skipping over the developer questions.
Okay.
So on a daily basis, I'm sure you have tools that you use for productivity, for planning, possibly time tracking. Are there a few that you could recommend, that you could suggest that you use on a day-to-day basis?
My time tracking now is pretty distinctly analog.
Okay.
Yeah, I do stand-ups with Geekbot with my teams every day, because I now have like 30 teams, something like that.
36?
There were 34 tables represented at the contributor day here.
But they weren't all... They were,
right. Some were components of other teams. Right. And yeah, things like that. But I've got like 30 teams or so. So I do stand-ups with a bunch of my teams. They all do them. And I do them for myself because I actually don't have a team. They all report to me. but other than that, it's actually really analog now. I've got a paper calendar and paper to-do lists, because I have found as I get increasingly busy, when I rely only on digital organizational methods, what happens is I don't feel like it's a real thing.
Okay.
At some point I get a little bit disconnected from it, and when I have some physical manipulation of the task I write down or the meeting that's happening or whatever it is, when I have to physically create it in my calendar, I am more likely to remember that it's a thing.
Okay.
And I have for a very long time paid a lot of close attention to my own personal resilience and trying to keep burnout away. I've worked often in very high stakes, high stress jobs. And so it's always been a really important part of just my regular human being routine. Moving to that sort of system really does wonders for burnout in my experience.
Right.
And I gave a whole talk about that, but it's been like, I want to say 7 years that I've been mostly paper and also some other things that kind of keep me moving.
Awesome. Then are you currently learning anything like in your spare time or as part of your job? Is there any course that you're on or any kind of book that you're reading or any kind of methodologies that you're learning about?
Hmm. I'm always reading. I don't read as much as Matt. I don't know.
Matt is a machine.
Yeah, he's a reading machine. I don't know how he does it. I'm like, I have to read 11 billion blog posts a day. So I do quite a bit of reading, mostly about, at this point, historical leaders.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite modern-ish leaders was President Eisenhower, because mm-hmm. he had this amazing ability to lead primarily by coalition, but be able to employ hierarchical leadership skills when needed. He rose in the ranks in his military career and then also became president of the United States, and had a remarkably quiet yet productive presidency, even though it was in a time of incredible turmoil in the world. Mm. And so I do a lot of historical reading around that time period. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm like actively trying to learn a thing so much as always trying to
right.
put something new in my brain.
Right. I found that to be a more effective way of learning new things than trying to sit down and focus on something. Because
yes.
you might get a bit bored or whatever, and then you've got work and you've got life. And whereas if you're just constantly trying to pick things up through your day to day, I find that to be a much more effective way of doing things. Then finally, I have the executive director of the project sitting in front of me.
Hello.
I'm a brand new contributor.
Yeah.
I've used WordPress. I've never contributed. I want to contribute to WordPress.
Yeah.
What one piece of advice would you give to me?
Find a buddy. It doesn't even have to be somebody who already knows what they're doing. Just having someone who's there makes all the difference. I've had a number of buddies in the project who have really helped me to feel comfortable taking those risks, because you have to have kind of a safe area, a safety net for when you're learning how to do stuff. In the WordPress project, my first like true actual buddy that really stuck with me through my stupid learning steps was Brandon Dove. He's in California somewhere, and he taught me basically everything there was to know about being a mentor in the community events program. I think before I was at Automatic. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, Josepha, thank you very much for your time today. It has been amazing. I could have a whole nother podcast with you. I could probably spend the rest of the afternoon talking to you, but I'm sure you've got other things that you would much rather be doing.
I found it delightful, actually.
Thank you very much. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to talk to you about WordPress, if they have a concern or a problem or something that they need to discuss with you, what is the best way to get hold of you?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Josepha Hayden. I talk about mostly WordPress and also my dog and sometimes food. Like, it's a little random, but if they have WordPress questions or any kind of WordPress wonders, they should go to chat.wordpress.org and sign up for a Slack account. And I am in there all the time. I'm the only Josepha, I think. And it's actually not Josepha in the Slack channel.
Please tell me the story, the name and the story.
It's my name. So it's Chantaboon, that is my name. And had I known that everyone was going to call me by my middle name at work, professionally, at some point in my life, I would have chosen a different name. But it's Chantaboone. I was the last child to learn how to spell my name in kindergarten. And that is how everyone knows me now. It's by my middle
Josepha
name.
Josepha Chantaboon.
Hayden Champusi.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's longer than the alphabet.
I thought I had a long name in Sydney.
Awesome. It's not a competition or anything, but it is wildly long.
It's not a competition, but I do think you win. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think it's pretty cool that my first live podcast, and I think maybe your first podcast as executive director?
Is
live and in person here at WordCap Europe, so I think that's a pretty awesome experience. I look forward to whatever you have for the project coming forward. I look forward to chatting to you on Slack and hopefully seeing you again next year.
Yeah.
So once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome.